Welcome to LeagueCast. Hello and welcome to episode 409 of the LeagueCast podcast. I'm your host, Nick the King Cooper. Joining me, Aiden Frost Rockarts.
Heyo, what's good?
And Colton Blue Basket Sweat.
Guys, are you ready for 2020? It's coming up so soon.
2400 and 2020, if you know what I'm saying.
I don't know what you're saying. Please explain the joke.
No. This week, we have two new patrons. We've got, we have some news and no reviews. Let's see. Sorry, I'm out of it right now. Some LCS talk, maybe a little bi-weekly discussion. We'll see. Roundtable, in a new one. And then we're going to round it out with some emails. So might be a little short this week. But I guess, I announced it at the end last week and I'll announce it here at the top of the show. Next week, we are doing an early show because next Wednesday is Christmas Day and we're not going to record on Christmas Day. So we'll be recording a little bit earlier than usual, and then releasing that whenever. I'm not sure. It's going to be up before you go to your trip, Aiden, right? Okay. So that'll be released soon after we record it. And then we're taking the next week off. So there'll be no episode the very last week of 2019 and the very first part of 2019. And then we'll be right back on it on January 8th, Wednesday, January 8th. Let's get into our weeks though. Aiden, how was your week?
My week is good. I played League of Legends.
You sure did.
Round of
applause. I thought you were taking a break until the new ranked season.
I actually had fun. I actually had a lot of fun playing League this week. I didn't play that much, but like we played a bit. I played 380 carry games. That role is actually fun. I don't know why you guys shit on it so much.
Well,
I think it's pretty
bad. Good. Wait till you have a bad game.
I just play Draven, so I don't have a bad game.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, so that role's fun. So I only played those three games. I played Draven, then Tristana, but it was pretty all right. Other than that, been playing more Pokemon, been continuing my shiny hunt. I've got shiny Umbreon, which is the coolest shiny Pokemon of all time, by the way. I'm working on shiny Flygon, which is my second favorite shiny Pokemon of all time. And then I caught Kennedy a shiny... Well, I got Kennedy a shiny Goodra and Mawile so far.
Oh, you have a shiny Metapod?
Yeah. I've been counting all my like captures and stuff, like how many steps and stuff it takes me, or how many hatches. So for the two Eevees that I like made, it was 133, which is super low. 512 is the average. Because 105-12 chance of hatching it. So 133 and 538, which is good for both those. Goodra was 269. And then the Mawile that I did was 846.
Oh, yikes.
Took quite a while. It was the first one I did, too. So I was like, am I doing this wrong or something? I was like so like messed up. And I'm currently doing Flygon, which I'm at, like, I think 250 right now. It's not bad.
Yeah, not bad at all. I'm having fun doing that.
Yeah, it's actually kind of relaxing because I whenever I'm watching like anime or just like watching YouTube video or whatever, I just like do that in the background. So yeah, I think that's about it though. What about you, Colton?
Yeah, I've been playing League 2. Been messing around in ranked a little bit, playing some of the boy Zillion, having some fun there. Played those in-houses with Nick the other night. That was a good time. We did a few different game modes. I laned against him one game pot, and he cried all game until he got constantly
camped. I did not cry one time.
He got camped so hard, and I...
I did get camped very hard, but I did not cry one time.
Cried the entire game, and then I nearly went Super Saiyan, and then he started DDoSing me.
What? You muted.
What?
What happened? Okay, so you disconnected from the game?
No, you DDoSed me, Nick. That's why I lost. That's the only reason.
Okay, gotcha.
Mm-hmm,
sorry.
Mm-hmm. No, but it was a lot of fun. The first game, I played Vayne, then we had an ARAM, I think. Mm-hmm. And then we did one more 1v1 on Zed. And
You smashed me.
I built Crit Zed, which was fun, and then I just like split push 1v4 and kept dying 1v4, but it was fun. But yeah, other than that, PUBG still good. That's about it for my week. So Nick, what have you been up to?
So pretty much the same, getting ready for Christmas. You guys finished your Christmas shopping?
Kind of. Well, so like I have all my gifts, but the one thing I'm doing is for my parents, I'm doing like 4 weeks of like the food, like meal delivery things.
Ooh, okay.
So like, blue apron thing? Yeah, like those different versions. There's like five different versions in Canada. So the reason I'm doing four different ones or 4 weeks of that is because I'm doing four different ones and I'm doing like 1 week and like canceling it for all the because they're expensive. I'm like budgeting it to like $200, but managing to do that by having like eight meals for like $200 by doing like 1 week of them with discount codes and like for sign up codes and shit like that. So I think it'll be fun though. I think they'll appreciate like me cooking for a couple weeks.
Nice. Yeah, that'd be nice. Awesome. How about you, Colton?
I mean, I don't have a lot done, but I also don't really have like a large amount that I'm intending to get, so
that's true.
Pretty well finished. Excited for Alex's Christmas party. I guess I need to get something for that gift exchange.
Yeah, the white elephant thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
And yourself?
Yeah, doing that. I started up Poe a little bit. I got through Act 1, my Arc Minor. So that's pretty fun. Played a little bit of League. I don't know if I played a lot.
When was last? You played a lot. You played 5 games last night.
I mean, last night, yeah, but that was special, you know. We did in-houses last night, and we played quite a lot of games. I think it was six. I think we played two blind picks, two draft picks, an ARM and a TFT game. That's six, right?
Yeah, it was six, because you played one before I was there and one after I left, and I played four.
Yeah, so it was a good time. Had a lot of fun. Fucking Pard's fucking Ornn destroyed us in that last game. It was disgusting. Like, he was actually just walking into five people and just smacking everyone. I didn't understand
it. Nice. That's always just fun, though. Like,
yeah, for sure. He got super fat on the tank after I solo killed him in lane and then just kind of smashed. But it was fun. Silas, bad champion. Changed my mind.
Awful.
Awful. And we'll be doing it again tomorrow night if this goes up tonight.
It will.
6 p.m. Eastern time. Literally all you have to do is join the channel. You don't have to ask me how to do it. You just join it.
You just register your email and then you go.
No.
You get the confirmation
None
code
that.
On your phone.
None of that.
You enter your
Bias crypto.
Oh yeah, Bias crypto. But that's it. So let's get into the news. I guess first we have two new patrons, Ryan and Gray White. Thank you for your support. We appreciate it. So yeah. So Riot Forge Games, they announced two, right, at the Game Awards.
Yeah. I only saw the trailer for one there. Then like there was another one. So I'm not sure if I like looked away and there was like the other one.
It was the Ruined King, right?
Yeah, I saw Ruined King like at the Game Awards, but maybe the other one was like they talked about it after, or maybe it's on the side or whatever. But yeah, they talked about two different games. One called the Ruined King, which is a turn-based RPG exploring Bilgewater, kind of based around. It seems like there's going to be some Shadow Isle stuff as well. You're playing as League characters though, as it appears. And the other one
set after Gangplank died, right?
Yeah, it's sent after the Burning Tide is what the event was called.
I think so.
Sounds right.
That sounds right.
And then the other game's called Convergence, which is a single player action platformer based around Echo, I believe, based on the name.
Oh, of course,
it's
Echo. Yeah, Echo's cool as can be though. I'm excited for both of them. I'm kind of excited in the fact that. So the Convergence, like they actually state it's a single player action platformer. For that one, they didn't state that it's not a single player game, or it is a single, you know what I mean? So maybe the other one's going to be like multiplayer, turn-based RPG. That'd be cool.
Yeah. I'm excited for a turn-based RPG though. That'd be sick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any like quick pitch me a game for Riot Forge? I've got two in mind that I think would be kind of fun.
Okay, have you heard
JRPG.
Of have you heard of Dota?
Yeah.
So I want them to make a game kind of like Dota where like they include like their full roster of characters and you like duke it out in like 5v5 combat.
That'll that sounds work. Really cool. That sounds like
awful.
That'll probably what last if, at least 10 years.
What if they made the version of what's the fuck? What's that game? The game that was like kind of like a combination of like League of Legends, like MOBAs, and WoW Arenas.
Oh, Battlerite.
Battlerite. What if they made a Battlerite game? Like a 3v3 character battle like arena game.
That'd be sick.
That would be sick. That would be so cool, right?
Yeah, that'd be cool. Super cool.
So the ones I was thinking, I think it'd be really like an easy thematic theme to do like a Teemo based stealth game.
Mm-hmm.
Like Teemo main character, just like stealth, either like platformer or like puzzler or something like that.
Metal Gear Teemo?
Metal Gear Teemo, basically, yeah. And then obviously they got to do a Little Legends mobile gacha game. You know?
Oh, true.
Got to collect them all.
Oh no, I can't do another gacha game.
But it's League of Legends, Nick.
I watched a YouTube video about like there's three JoJo gacha games in like the Eastern market that are like translated, but they actually look pretty cool, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're actually like pretty pog.
Yeah. Oh, guess what I learned today?
What?
That Grand Order and Tinder were tied for the first among paid apps.
Christ. Grand Order's so popular, dude. It's actually gross.
Grand Order's pretty nuts, yeah. But super cool. Yeah, I guess Elite Gacha game would be good, but the fucking subreddit would lose our goddamn minds.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they'd fucking flip.
Yeah. That's tough. I guess like I'm thinking like a Transistor game, but with Echo.
Okay.
Just Transistor reskinned with Echo.
Perfect.
Is that anything?
It'd kind of work better with Aphelios in theory.
I mean, I guess.
A whole lot of that game is like choosing like loadouts and like combinations of abilities.
That's true.
Like, I feel like his kit would work better at that. If you did want it to be like more like Transistor, but stylistically, I guess Echo works better. But
yeah,
can we get BioShock? Let's put your
game without Echo in
it. Can we get BioShock, but it's just Kha'Zix?
What if external games were all just Echo based?
True.
Super Smash Brothers Echo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right,
I'm excited for that
talk.
Though.
No, it should be sick, yeah. The Prestige Tour is next up on the list. Did you guys buy anything from the Prestige Tour yet?
So I'm not sure yet. So I only have 85 points, but if I bought the pass, I'd have enough to buy like something. Right. Yeah. And I haven't decided if I want the pass yet. If not, like I'll just buy more keys. Keys are so efficient. By the way, if you don't have 100 points, just buy keys. 3 prestige points for a key. That's actually insane. You'll have keys
that is
for the
actually
rest of your
insane.
Life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for an entire key?
Yeah, for an entire key.
Holy shit. Okay, that's nuts.
I probably wasted mine. I bought one of the bags for 50 because I knew I wasn't going to hit 100. And I probably should have picked up like the ward and keys.
Did you buy the Battle Pass, Colton?
For this event, yeah.
So you do get... you do have the option... Like with your tokens to get 100 prestige points, like just straight up.
He might not play enough though, because he's gonna be gone for like a week.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to play a lot to get 100 prestige from it.
Yeah. Well, they made it a little bit easier with the weekly missions, right?
Yeah, they did. I think they even talked about that in their blog for like this event. They're like, hey, we know it's the holidays, so we're doing less daily things and more weekly things, which is actually really really cool.
Yeah, because all right, so you get 200 per week. There's 3 weeks or is it 4 weeks?
I think it's 4 weeks.
4 weeks, that's 800. That's 1,000 just purchasing it right there.
Yeah.
With the 200 that they give you for free.
You so you need to earn play 1,000.
Yeah, I guess that's 100 games, right?
Yeah.
A little bit less. Yeah. But it's cool. I bought the Ahri skin. It's super good. So just waiting. So are these, like with these... With these icons, or with these prestige points, are they also having the... I thought all of the prestige skins were getting released.
They wrote about that. I think they still are.
Okay, just later?
I'm not sure. So, like, I thought they'd be here as well, right? Like, that's what, like,
yeah.
That's what it sounds like. But in their blog post, they talked about it, but it wasn't really clear.
Okay. Because I was like, oh, I'm going to wait for the Qiyana skin, because that's, like, a sick skin.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess not.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Who knows? If they do, it's kind of, like, a little bit weird that they held it off, but we'll see.
Yeah, I suppose so. Cool. So, what about the next one? Riot on set and the frequency of champs for this year. I didn't see anything about this.
So, in the last couple months of this year, we've gotten Senna, Aphelios, and then we're getting Set really soon. Are those three, or is there another one I'm missing? I think it's just those three, right? Which all came within
just those three.
A couple weeks of each other, right? Like, Senna was at the end of World, Aphelios came out last week. And then Set's probably going to launch like first week of this year, which that's a champion a month, right? Which is way faster than they've been releasing them like for the past like year or so, right? Like they released six characters, I think, last year, or five or something like that, maybe even less. So they just like said that the way that production schedules work is that they're working on like five characters at a time sort of thing. And some things take longer, things take shorter. And it just happened that all these characters were kind of ready to launch at the same time. So don't expect them to like keep up like a character a month. It's probably going to go back to like having the like five characters a year sort of thing. It just worked out this like situation that they're like launching a bunch in a row.
Nice. To, like, I don't know. I kind of like these moments of like super hype. Here's just a shit ton of champions. Good luck.
Yeah, no,
like,
I agree.
I like those moments a lot.
Do you remember season like 1, 2, 3 where it's yes. The character every 2 weeks?
Every 2 weeks. So every other week, champion.
Like, that's yeah. Crazy. So I'm glad I'm glad we're not at that point again, because like I think we're getting better characters because of like the long dev cycles.
Oh, for sure.
But it is cool that like they will. There is times where they'll put out like more characters. It's not like they're just like stuck to we only want to release four a year. It's like they're just working on whatever they can, and when stuff's ready, it's ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's super cool. And then we have. Patch notes B. So sort of like a mid patch patch. Yeah. It's pretty sizable, I feel like, for a small little patch.
They're not big changes though. They're just like number changes more than anything, I think.
Okay, so. Gotcha. So we'll run through these real quick. And were there any TFT ones?
They're like minuscule. They're like just balancing a couple things. There's nothing really released. No I guess the only big TFT change is that they're nerfing tier 3 units, like when you 3-star a unit, like when you get 9 of them.
Oh, okay.
Before it used to double their health from 2 to 3. Now it's like, and all their stats from 2 to 3, now it's just like 1.8 times, because it was just too strong just to like roll everything for like level 3s and just like end the game at like level 7, you know what I mean? With like less units than
gotcha,
people.
Gotcha, for but tier 1s.
Yeah, but they had double the stats, right? Compared
yeah.
to...
Yeah.
Yeah. So that I think that's sense. Probably a good change to the game overall. But yeah, that was the, like, the only major change.
Okay, sweet. So yeah, let's get into these patch notes real quick. Alistair's up first. They rounded up some of his base stats and they increased his passive heal. So not too much, but I don't know. I think Alistair's still fine.
Mm-hmm.
He's not OP, but he's still definitely pickable.
Mm-hmm. He's just kind of like a worse Leona for a while.
Yeah. It's a very, very minor buff, but... Like, I guess it's a buff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Aphelios, Calibrum Mark has been bug fixed. Some damage ratio has been decreased. Infernum ultimate damage ratio and explosion radius decreased. So some nerfs to Aphelios. He seems very strong still.
Yeah, the Infernum ulti is just too good currently, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's a combination of like people not knowing how to play against it and it being very good, because it's one of those things where like, oh, if they clump up, they're going to lose the game. But team fights right now are kind of like clump up and end the game. So it's tough. I don't think he's like OP, but I don't think he's as hard as Riot made him out to be, I suppose.
Yeah, I saw a good like thing on Riot where he's not. he's not that complex. He's less complex than people expected to like play, but he's really hard to play against, like really complex to play against. Like you don't really what he's doing. It only shows what his main hand gun is on his like toolbar. So you don't know what his offhand is unless you're looking at his model specifically. It's just very confusing to play against.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's been my experience with it. Is like I have no idea what's going on when I'm playing against Ophelios.
Mm-hmm. I also feel like Cutie Pie's kind of description was it. It's like they marketed him as a champion that you have to make like a lot of choices on. But the choices now are just like, oh no, do I want to heal for a bunch or like do the same amount of damage? Like it's not really a cognitive choice that you're having to make so much as like, oh, this is the situation that I'm in. Like this will be good enough. I don't know. It's not like impactful enough, I suppose.
No, I agree. But that's fair.
Still super cool. Seemed a little difficult to play for my one game, but I don't think I was spamming my Q enough. So, yeah. I don't know whose turn it is.
I believe it's mine. So Ezreal, he's getting his attack damage ratio increased on his Q, which is cool. Just like it's 0.1, but like that's a pretty big buff, honestly. Just because that's your most frequent damage ability, so every 3 seconds, sort of thing. It's like giving AD carries like extra AD on their like auto attacks. Even if you buff their AD by 2, it's actually like a pretty big change. So
yeah, it's gonna add up over the course of a game.
This is just more to like negate his like loss from losing Kleptomancy. So it's kind of a good change, I think.
Yeah, Garen, his spin damage is increased. So they nerfed him in the main part of this patch, and now they're reverting a little bit of that in this sub patch.
Yep. Up next, Gnar. His Q damage ratio has been increased, and the base damage on his W has been increased as well. So a couple tiny buffs. Not that you really see a lot of AD heavily built on Gnar, so that 0.2 ratio isn't going to be crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Graves. Graves is up next. His E cooldown is decreased. That's okay. It's 2 seconds at all ranks. So nice little buff for him.
Yeah, it's cool. Heimerdinger, W base damage is decreased. Empowered E damage is decreased. Heimerdinger was just like too strong. Like I guess I was going to say mainly bottom lane, but he's also played mid as well. He's just like a kind of annoying character. So I'm kind of glad he's getting nerfed.
So I have, and I like, do you think this is directly in response to both the TCS and Twitch Rivals where Heimer was like basically S tier?
Yeah, I mean he's also like played at like high like ELO the same way, right? Like he's just one of the better bottom laners in the game. He's just safe. You can play him into anything.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that's really,
I just meant like that exposure
thing.
Sort of.
No, yeah, I think exposure is huge though.
Yeah. Nice. Okay. And then Shaco. His E damage ratio has been decreased and the mana cost has been flattened. So, nerfing him.
Everyone's like, oh, Shaco's so OP. I'm just kidding. No one says that. I don't know a single other person who says that.
Yeah.
But who am I to say?
Yeah, so they also changed Elder Dragon in buffs in dragons themselves.
That's so weird to me.
So, okay. So, what's up? What?
So... The way I looked at dragons and dragon souls, well, specifically like the souls, but I guess most of these are changes to soul, and the same with elder, was these are game things you close the game out with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you
this
get
is
a soul,
end the game as soon as you get it.
You get the soul, you end the game. If you don't end the game with soul, you give them a 50-50 to get elder and then turn the game and end it on you, right? If you have 4 dragons, you should be able to end the game. But the fact that they're nerfing them makes me feel like they didn't think that way.
So that they think this is just there's still a chance to come back from this. This isn't a game-ending mechanic like Elder Dragon and Baron are.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they're also nerfing Elder Dragon.
It's weird to me. Like, I feel like it's one thing to balance them around each other, but it's another thing just to, like, nerf them because they're too strong when I feel like that's the only way I could justify them being in the game. You know what I mean? Like, there are broken things. Like, every single one of them is broken. Ocean Souls.
But it's supposed to be that way, right?
That's what I would say. I'd be like, okay, they're broken. I can't believe they add this. But it makes sense. They want games to be under the 7 dragon game time limit. You know what I mean? That makes sense. But then they're like, no, they're too strong. Then you start going, wait, isn't that the point of them is to be like really strong? So I don't know. It's weird, man. I don't understand. Maybe this will actually make the game more fun, but like I thought it was already an all right mechanic. It just feels like I'm not on the same page.
I think my only argument, I agree with you. I'm going to play devil's advocate. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's an argument to be made for getting the Dragon Soul / Elder Dragon shouldn't instantly end the game? Like there is a point where they're too strong, right? Because you still want that idea of like, okay, we got the Elder Dragon. The game is still not like 100% over. They're not going to surrender as soon as we smite this. Like, and are they just trying to find like where that point is? Or do you think this is like just kind of like you were saying, like, we don't think this is the direction that we want to take it.
I think what they're aiming for is for it to still be a game ending mechanic, but not like you're saying they got the Elder Drake. Let's just FF because there's no way to fight Elder Drake. I think what they're trying to go for here is that if you still want to play a scaling team comp and you lose the first few dragons, you haven't necessarily lost. You're probably going to lose because they're going to get the soul and the elder, but also they're going to tone back the power on those just a little bit to give you more of a fighting chance. I also think that with how snowbally the current jungle is, having dragon buffs this strong puts way too much power in the hands of a single player on the jungler, where a game can get ruined for four players because their jungler got outplayed. And there should be, I believe, like in terms of game design, every single role should have a roughly even contribution to the outcome of a game. There shouldn't be one role that has that much more of an impact on the game. And I think that this might be part of that change as well, where I think jungle currently dictates too much of the game.
I wholeheartedly agree. I just feel like there's a disconnect there based on their balance team, where they released these in a condition where everyone went, holy fuck, these are OP. Like everyone kind of unanimously, right? They're like, holy shit, these are like, you lose the game if they get a soul in theory, right?
Mm-hmm.
But apparently that's not their direction that they expected. You know what I mean? That's my main problem with it, is there's a clear disconnect between their intention, which was these to be a strong part of the game, but not like a game ending thing, to the reception of literally everyone in the community of them being, oh, this is obviously meant to just like to end the game because they're this overpowered.
Mm-hmm.
I still think they're really, really strong though. Like these are small nerfs.
No, I'm just saying, like, the fact that they're nerfing them shows that, like, they at least didn't go, yeah, these should end the game, right? Like, they didn't make those changes with that in mind. They didn't release and go, these will destroy the game. They said, oh, we think these are going to be, like, very, very strong, and they should, like, allow you to end the game, but not, like, as strong as they actually were.
Yeah, they're not thinking this is a guaranteed end. They're thinking that this is a make winning, like, 50% easier.
Mm-hmm. And that being said, I've always like said the philosophy of you should always release characters stronger than like weaker, because you want to like have it be at its limit and then tone it back because you want to see like where its like thresholds are. So maybe they did it like that because it is preseason and who cares. So like I can't fully say that holy shit they didn't know what they were doing, because maybe they did. It just like sometimes seems like there's a little bit of disconnect.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, I would tend to agree. Hopefully this doesn't, like, yeah, I don't know.
I think it's an overall good change. I fucking love the dragons.
Yeah, I do too.
I love the rift changes.
It puts such a good priority on, like, dragons and, like, incentivizing, like, early fights like they've always wanted.
My only issue, I think, with the current dragons is Cloud. Just because ultimate cooldown is so iffy on whether or not it's going to be really good on a character. Like yeah. Health regen always good, APAD always good, bonus armor magic resist always good, ultimate cooldown reduction it can be crazy good or it can be terrible.
Not good for Udyr.
Right, like that's my only issue, where it's not something right that you ever get to opt into and choose. So again, like you can't pick the Karthus jungle because you know it's a Cloud Drake, or not pick Karthus because there isn't, like, you don't get to make I definitely think it should be choices like, around it.
I think so you're getting at like knowing which dragons are in Champ Select, right?
I don't necessarily mean that should be the way it's done. I just think that if that information is not given, then the dragons should all be universally good. Right? And okay. back when Cloud gave movement speed, like, every character benefits from move speed. But again, you know, Udyr does nothing with the Cloud Drake.
Yes, that's true. I do think, like, ultimate cooldown reduction is generally universally a good stat. Like, obviously there are fringe cases where it's not, like, good. But, like, I think the way around this, honestly, is to just display which dragon soul will be in play this game. So, like, you don't know which first two dragons you're going to get, but you will know the next, like, couple afterwards. Right? So it's still like, okay, the primary number of dragons that are going to be in this game are Cloud. So we can play to that. Like, it may take us a little bit longer to get to...
Yeah.
It may take us a little bit longer to get to these, like, the Dragon Soul and the dragons that we want. However, it's still going to be there once we're ready. Cool. Lethality. So they've bumped up Serrated Dirk attack damage from 25 to 30 and Edge of Night attack damage from 50 to 55. So a little bit of buffs for lethality, which is worse on Zed than crit. Hot take.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. pretty good. And that's it. Some bug fixes, but nothing that's like too nuts, I think. That's pretty much it for the patch. Let's get into the LCS section.
Hell yeah.
So, G2's role swapping. Surprise.
I don't think it's that crazy.
Yeah, except it's not that insane, actually. Perks is going back to the mid lane. Caps is going back AD carry. And is this a permanent change? I don't think they mentioned it.
So, here's my take on it. Is there's literally no downside to this.
Yeah.
It's spring split. They have the best roster. They have a top five roster in the world, right? Top three roster in the world, probably. And spring split doesn't matter.
Yep.
Why don't they spend the entire split having Caps learn AD carry, Perks plays mid, and great, now their mid and AD carry can both play each role to the high world level. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, granted, Perks was already a pretty like world-class mid laner, maybe not the best in the world, but very high quality, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's literally just like, oh, we're gonna get Caps to play AD carries as well.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure is not a problem whatsoever for G2.
And worst just case scenario, Caps doesn't play AD carries very well over the split, and then they just switch back.
You know what I mean? Then they swap back. Yeah. And then they're like back to even.
And then they're back to even, and he still has more experience on that in case they want to do weird swap things later on.
Mm-hmm. Or even like play against it, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, cool.
That G2
always
cool.
Innovating. It is very. It's like I'm not a fan. I think they're a little like confident and cocky. That line is very thin. I think as they should they be. They've definitely backed it up. Like previously, G2 and 8 was very funny to me.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's definitely an interesting team to watch and appreciate from the outside looking in.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and then Pobelter and Demonte are on quote teams for the spring split.
Yeah, Pobelter is fuck. Which one is? I know Demonte is the sub mid laner for G2 Dignitas.
Dignitas as is Acadian.
Yeah, team is today, actually sick.
Yeah.
That's a fucking sick academy team. And then Pobelter is a positional coach on Team Liquid now.
Yes, that was it. I remember he was a coach for something, but I couldn't remember.
Yeah, so they're not fully playing in LCS. I think there's a good chance that Demonte will play in LCS, like him versus, I think, Froggen is Dignitas' mid laner, I believe, from what I remember. I could see a world where Froggen is just like not playing super well, and they like swap in Demonte. But overall, I think it's good that Demonte got on a team. They probably have the best academy roster out of every team. Maybe CLG. Yeah. CLG, this academy roster is actually fucking disgusting.
It's pretty nuts.
Yeah, but other than that, I feel like it's good. I'm glad they both got something. It seemed like Team Liquid just more like did this because it's a very positive brand move. I don't know if Team Liquid needed Poehlter as a positional mid lane coach, but it's a good brand move for them.
Yeah, so actually, like, one of the things that I saw on Reddit this week is, like, why is Demonte being hyped so much, right? Why? Like, that doesn't make any sense. He didn't place, like, incredibly well. And I think the reason that we have talked about him a lot, at least recently, is that everyone in NA and outside of NA has been pressuring for NA to, like, home grow talent, right? Not import players. And Demonte was sort of the, like, first player that, you know, came from NA, was you know, playing through solo queue here, got picked up, went through Academy, if I'm not wrong.
Yep.
And then got pulled into LCS. Like, the system is designed to work. And then to see every team, you know, and it's not every single team's fault that this didn't happen. Like, you're not expecting TSM to drop Bjergsen for Demonte simply because Demonte is, like, I don't know, an NA native, right? But in this scenario, you know, Demonte did not get picked up, and sort of that era of, you know, potentially homegrowing NA talent and then displaying it on the world like every other region does, and then and not importing it from these other regions, like, that was an interesting, like, I don't know, a good move. Like, teams were excited about that, and then to see a promising NA player like Demonte not get picked up sort of indicate to the direction that a lot of teams are like not willing to go towards this this, like, growing of their own talent, and instead will just, like, import it, which is, like, a pretty big deal, honestly, because when we think of a lot of our marquee imports, and a lot of that is, like, oh, they imported and came to NA, got their paycheck, and then retired, right? So yeah. I don't know, just, like, an interesting thing that I saw and figured, like, oh, that is the reason, but it's not really been explained, at least on LeagueCast yet. So, yeah. So that's sort of the discussion around that. But yeah, let's get into roundtable.
Hell yeah. So last week's question was, what are your goals for season 10? Bonnie said gold with the stretch of plat. Hopefully I can get there after 3 years of playing League and 2 years, which were ranked. Gold's always a good goal. I feel like that's kind of like the benchmark for they set as, like, the first big step. Which is cool. Luke said, after spending 3 years and hundreds of dollars on my only account that got permanently banned 3 weeks before the season ended due to being hacked when I got so close to gold, my goal for season 10 is to abuse OP champs and make it to plat. I feel like that's a cool, not the, like, account banned thing, but just, like, having a goal of, like, I'm just gonna play good characters. I feel like that's a cool goal that a lot of people should try. It's just, like, every patch, figure out the best characters for, like, whatever role you want to play, and just play those characters. If you can pick up new characters, like, every single patch and, like, play what's best, that's a really good way to play the game, I think, rather than just playing what you like. Even though, like, it's a game and it should be fun, I think if you want to get good, like, being able to adapt to metas is super sick. Noah said, finally quit League, 10th time's the charm, smiley face. Simola's, like, crying smiley face. Greg said, to abuse the other jungler as much as possible, put him in the deepest, darkest hole, because because rest in hell, catch-up experience. I'm still not sure how I feel about a catch-up experience being, like, gone, personally.
Like, it just shouldn't have been as intense.
Yeah.
Like, it should still be there so the game isn't over the minute, like, someone falls behind. But the degree should be toned down.
There's way bigger cheese that, like, I don't like, that I feel like is going to feel worse. Like, if they've, like, 5-man invade you, your buff, and you die, and then they, like, 3-man invade your other buff and kill you and take that buff, the game's probably over for you.
Yeah.
And I even think
like, that play is bad.
I think the biggest issue is, like, just that it was so much before, and now it's entirely gone. Like, if they just, like, halved it or reduced it by, like, 75%, it wouldn't feel, I don't think, as ridiculous, but, like, there are games now where enemy junglers I see with, like, 4-level advantages, and it's just like, yep, that's, like, this, it's done. And I hinted towards it a little bit earlier when we were talking about the Drakes, but, like, I think jungle is too strong right now and has more impact on the game than any other role by too much of a margin.
I'm going to make the argument that that's been the case for the majority of League's, like, life span.
I think so. I think support was the best role last season, but
Yeah, for sure. Like there, I think it generally speaking falls either in the jungle or in the support role.
Mm-hmm. Even though a lot of people think mid is like the best role, which it can be because you do have the highest carry potential sometimes. I think like roles where you can like affect the map like through utility and like most not even like the most, like you're not the most heavy influence, but you have the most ways to affect the game, meaning like you can affect it in every different scenario, is like huge. Cool. Aaron says, Master Aphelios, his kit is hard to learn properly, but he's amazing when you land your combo. It might take a full split to learn that character, so that's a good
goal. Yeah, true.
Militia said, play ranked for the first time. What the hey, said hit master tier, peak D2 the season jungle. Feels good. Right now my champs are meta, and it's a good time to go sicko mode and duo with my uni mid laner who peaked master. Pards Bay said, I'll take it from here, boys. Just play bike. that bronze nice. Teemo player said, hit gold and become golden Teemo player. and then this week's question is, your last played champion gets you a gift for Secret Santa, and you get the champion before that a gift. Who are the champions and what gifts are exchanged?
All right, I'll go. So my last played was Lulu. Mm-hmm. And I think she gets me a little like a picks of my own.
Yeah.
However, she like it's one of those twisted things where like Lulu's still a child, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she turns other little children into fairies.
Yeah.
I think it's a scenario like that where she doesn't understand the like the horrific nature of what she's done. So I definitely use the gift receipt and like return it for something else. And then I am assigned Morgana. I think I'd just get her some nice cookies that aren't burnt.
Oh, that's nice.
So yeah, a little nice thing. How about you guys?
So my most recent played is Zed. So he'd probably get me like a shuriken that like every time I try and like pick it up just like cuts me. Because I feel like he would just give me a bad evil gift, right? Zed's not actually giving you something nice.
I'm gonna make the argument that Zed's not evil.
What if he kills your master for Christmas?
Yeah, what if he cuts off your dad's head?
Okay, then that's
like your
that's,
dad master's head.
Yeah, that's what Zed does. He kills my dad for Christmas.
Christ.
That's messed up. That's messed up. I'm sorry.
And that's then more, my next one after that is Fiora. So what would I get Fiora for Christmas? I was actually going to say I don't know, she's French, she likes bread, I can make her a nice like sourdough loaf. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I can make quite a perfect baguette, but I can make a nice sourdough boule.
So is baguette like a type of bread, or is it just like the shape of the bread? Oh, so you can make a sourdough baguette.
I could, but that would require different things that I don't really have right now.
It sounds like you're not really dedicated to giving this gift.
It's kind of weird.
I'm sorry. I'll make her a baguette.
I mean, I wouldn't give LeBron James a football because it's a ball, you know? Like, I'd go out of my way to make sure it related to him. But that's cool, I guess. How about you, Aiden?
So I'm stuck on, the gift that Tristana would get me. I feel like that one's, like, hard. The closest thing I have, like, that I think she might get me is, like, her little, like, dragon friend. She might get me, like, a little dragon. But that's, like, the best I have, unless you guys have a better thing.
She would totally fucking get you a gun.
She'd get you a grenade, dude.
Yeah.
Just a live grenade.
She'd get me something dangerous, at least. And then the Secret Santa that I'm giving to is Draven. So I'm obviously just going to get him some, like, a nice brand of, like, a mustache wax. So...
Ooh.
I feel like you'd really appreciate that.
A big old mirror.
Yeah, I was going to say a signed Draven picture.
Right, that'd be good too, yeah. So if you want to tell us what you're going to get your Secret Santa and what they're going to get you, you can hit us up on our Facebook page at LeagueCast, send us an email, mail@leaguecastpodcast.com, or come into our Discord and post in our roundtable section. Thank you.
Nice. That brings us to Malphite. where we got a number of skins. So the first email is from Alex P. Gemstone Update. I got number 10. Congratulations, my friend. So now I have to ask, what is your favorite hex deck or other gemstone applicable skin? This is a good segue because I forgot to mention what happened this week. So I come home from my girlfriend's house over the weekend and I log in to play some League and I see that Hextech Swain is in my inventory. And I'm like, all right, thank you, Riot. I scammed you once again. No, it turns out Aiden spent 10 of his gemstones. How this is even possible, I didn't even know, but spent 10 of his gemstones to gift me Hextech Swain, which is super sweet. And I appreciated it. And I played Swain and I did really well in lane, but my team kind of fed. Also inted afterward. Like instantly out of lane phase.
That's one of the coolest skins of the game though.
It's so sick. Awesome. We were looking at like the animations and stuff. It's so sick. The ult looks amazing. Very happy to have it. But yeah, what do we think the best? I mean, I'm probably gonna say Hextech Swain.
I'm a big fan of the Lancer Zero Hecarim as well.
That's a good one too, yeah.
But I think Swain is probably the best. It's so cool. I think
for me, it's either Poppy, but that might be biased, like based on character, or Annie. I feel like summoning the giant like Mecha Tibbers is so cool.
I don't think I've seen the Hextech Annie in game.
It's so sick.
That sounds like it would be super cool. Yeah, nice. Do we have, like, a lamest one?
What would be the lamest character to get a Hextech skin?
I mean, real talk, probably Rammus, right?
I like the look of Rammus. He looks too much like Kog'Maw, and Kog'Maw's just a cooler version of it, though, I guess, right?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe Rammus. I think the Malzahar one is the lamest.
The Malzahar one looks awful.
Yeah. It looks so bad. It looks like it was made, like, 6 years ago.
He looks like an Oblivion character.
Oh, dude, what about a Braum one with a huge fucking, like, mecha shield?
Oh, that'd be sweet. Damn.
I feel like it's hard to make a bad-looking skin for this.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, cool.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'd just picked one of the champion that you play a lot.
Mm-hmm. Or a good rule of thumb is wait till the next one comes out. Because, like, they only release maybe, like, 2 or 3 years sort of thing. So, like, you don't want to spend them then be like, oh, shit, I just wasted my gemstones. Yeah. I'm never going to get them again. And then they make a skin for your main or something like that. So I'd wait till the next one comes out and then decide, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. I think a Hextech Azir skin could be real cool.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that would be insane.
He summons, like, little robots. Ugh.
That'd be sweet. But instead of, instead of like, attacking you with a sword, they shoot you with that gun. A Hextech gun.
A hex blade. A gun and a sword. It's two at once.
Yeah, so congratulations, Alex, and good luck. Good luck picking your one.
All right, this is a very serious email with some important discussion about to be had. So this one's from Spencer. He said, I saw this question posed somewhere on the internet the other day and figured I would pass it along to the podcast I listen to, which discusses Naruto more than any other. Here's the question. If Naruto were to have sex with his shadow clones while they were using sexy jutsu to appear as women, would it be considered gay, incest, or masturbation?
Masturbation, next question.
This is not a mutually exclusive question necessarily. Someone must make a ruling on this. Spencer. So, Aiden, you're arguing masturbation.
Yes.
Okay, so is it weird that that was my answer when I read this initially? Like, no. When he sent it in and I read it on my phone?
No, it's
masturbation.
Yeah.
So, like, my only argument against masturbation is that it is proven, like, canonically, that the shadow clones have, like, their own thought processes and are conscious. So, like, it is a different person, even though it's a clone. And I guess my argument would be there, like, is if somebody cloned one of us right now, like, that's a different person.
Disagree, masturbation.
I just wanted it to be known that we're recording live in Discord, and someone joined, and Colton's first words were, my only argument against masturbation is.
It's your average episode of League Cast.
Average
Very
episode.
Fun. Oh, they talked about Naruto and masturbation in the same question. That's new.
So that being said, incest, probably not. Is it, would it be considered gay? I think the only way,
because they're like,
so they're biologically female, or at least we can assume they're always covered in clouds.
Yeah, as women are.
Always, yeah.
As I understand.
As I understand it, the female body is always surrounded by clouds, so as not to be immodest. I'm wondering. I imagine, again, when he transforms, like, mentally, he still knows he's Naruto, so I would make the argument that identifying as male would make that, would make it gay.
Masturbation, next question.
Okay, fine. Aiden, that's your answer. Spencer, that's the right answer. It's masturbation.
As the Naruto expert, Aiden says masturbation. Thank you, Aiden. But, and thank you, now, or thank you, Spencer.
Aiden, I have a further question for you. A follow-up, if you will. Mm-hmm. So as you know, Naruto's intense training sessions, anything that the clones do, he learns from it, right?
Yes.
Right? So if he's having sex with his clone, not only does he learn what it's like to have sex with a female body, like, but he also gets a better appreciation of his own skills. Like, why isn't he doing this all the time?
Okay, that's not a question, but continue, yeah.
Why isn't he doing it all the time?
You can't just
That was
ask,
a question.
You can't just state your statement and then ask it with, like, an increase in your tone at the end to turn it into a question.
No, you don't understand, Aiden. Why isn't Naruto having sex with himself all the time so he can get better at sex?
Yeah, why wouldn't he do that?
This is what I'd read on some forum.
Does he hate Hinata?
Answer the question.
Does he hate Hinata?
So this is a Wendy's.
Okay, I have a follow-up question now. Do you think if all of his clones masturbated at the same time, right? And he, like, he also gets their weariness, right? Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you think if they all masturbated at the same time and he, like, whatever, recalled them or whatever, does he get, like, that weariness times 1,000? Does his dick just fall off?
He just instantly falls asleep.
Nut. Dead. All right. That was a...
Next question.
Was that the best Naruto section we've done?
Yep.
All right, cool. Thank you, Spencer. Next question is from Daniel. Hey, guys. I'm a gold 1/gold 2 player and have a question for you guys. Do you think one tricking a champion is better to climb or having a wider champion pool but not having the same comfort on them as a one trick? I ask because I'm main Akali and Talon in mid, and sometimes the matchup lane matchups get rough. I don't know if I should continue just playing one or two characters or should start practicing some other heroes for the rougher matchups. Thanks, Daniel. So I'm going to go ahead and, like, blanket statement. Generally speaking, one-tricking is going to get you a lot more elo.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't have to focus on the old Ellis argument. You don't have to focus on the new champion's mechanics and how to play it and how to, like, do specific things at specific times because your muscle memory is, like, already, like, functioning that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also gonna go ahead and say I think that one champion at the moment should be Talon. I think Talon's stronger than Akali, and I think you can also smash games so fucking hard on Talon. Like, you even if you go even in lane, if you just leave, like, no one can follow you as quickly, and you can just get, I don't know, double kills in the bot lane. They'll Katarina play. What do you guys think? Anything to add?
I mean, I think we all agree that, like, easiest way to just climb is to one trick, and you laid out the argument behind it. If you are having issues in certain matchups, especially with, like, Talon and Akali as your main two, I would imagine you're playing these mid. Maybe pick up a third character that is just very, like, good at safe farming if you run into Malzahar. That matchup. Yeah, like Malzahar is what I was gonna pitch. Yeah, it's just like, have that third as a backup that maybe you don't play as often, but if you're like, this is a really, really shit matchup for Talon, all right, fine, I'll just go even and play Malzahar. Right, like, that's always an option.
Yeah, that's true. And I think that's basically all we've answered all your questions. Hopefully that helps. I would stick to Akali and Talon.
Yeah.
Thank you, Daniel.
Next email is from John. He says, I play a lot of AD carry and recently picked up Jhin. I've started to love his long-range W and satisfying fourth shots, especially with the new energized crit items. I've started to pay attention to my mini-map more since I have abilities that can strike targets off-screen. This has also made my play of other champions a lot better because I have more awareness of the map as a whole. I noticed something similar happen when I was learning Olaf in the jungle. I had a stutter step to attack while moving towards my axe and farming camps, so my stutter stepping got much better. What other champions teach a skill just by playing them properly? Keep up the good podcast, John.
Lucian! Gotta weave in your auto attacks.
Mm-hmm. I think Lucian is a cool really good too. Example. I think Draven is a good one just to keep you always thinking about where you're stepping after your auto attack. Also kind of Callista in a similar way, where there is time between your auto attack and your next one that you can be doing something. You know, with some characters it's going to be casting a spell, with some it's going to be dodging things, with some it's going to be going like for your axes on Draven, but the idea of just learning to be constantly moving and have a plan for where you're stepping next, kind of.
This one's a little bit more vague, but Poppy, I think her like buckler mechanic, like throwing it bounces off someone, it lands on the ground, and that gives you a shield if you step on it, and if they step on it, it makes it so you can't like get it, right? I think that's like a cool thing in like teaching the players that going to the right area, meaning stepping on the buckler because it gives you a shield, is not always the correct play, right? Even though moving here is a good play, moving there in that situation might be a bad play, right? Because they can line up skill shots.
Because
they
can then
line
Poppy up can go on you, yeah.
Yeah, there's like a bunch of things for both players in that matchup. I think with the Poppy, like if you go there, they'll just like use an ability and like out trade you before you get your shield, right? Or maybe they can get there before you, or you can even play it so that you know that they're going to go there to deny you it, so you can play a certain way and position like your abilities around that, right? Like, I feel like it sets up like a lot of dynamics where even though, yes, you throw buckler, it lands on the ground, I get buckler, I get shield, very good, right? That's not always the right play, is picking up the buckler.
That's true. I think that falls into the same category-ish of Draven.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the Draven player though, not the double way that you were like mentioning. But yeah, sweet. Awesome. Thank you, John. Thank you, John. Next question is from Razgriz. Hey guys, Razgriz here. What should I put in my Tinder profile? Meme answers only. I'm a dirty, toxic top lane bruiser player for reference. Thanks! ! Actually, if you go to our Patreon and you support us at the what do we put this at?
$800. I thought it was $1,800.
$800. Okay, yeah. I forgot. I get those two mixed up a lot. You can use our OPGG as like, hey, this is my account.
Oh, that actually is sick.
And I'll actually run your Tinder for you. I'll get you all the dates.
Okay, well. Okay. We hadn't listed that before, but we can, I suppose.
Yeah. That's the secret hidden tier on my Patreon.
I got one more Tinder bio for you, though.
Okay.
Hit it.
Likes good music, good food. Dislikes bad music, bad food.
I'm good.
I have a big heart and I jump high. Isn't that one of them?
Yeah. Same as skinny dude, fat heart.
Foxy world.
That's a good one.
Yep.
Nice.
Those are all
good luck, Redskins.
All great answers for you, bud. Also, you should just put a link to your Twitch stream in your profile.
True.
Or mine, or Nick's. So, honestly, send them a link to Nick's stream.
Just write, thank you. I'm an 8-month Blue Basket sub on Twitch.
Nut.
Our next question is from, our next email is from Callum. It's a general question that I'm sure many low elo players can relate to. I wanted to know if you could go through the roles and give a good pick for climbing, as a lot of people find it hard to choose a champion to play to dominate low elo. Also, this question could apply to the high elo players if you want to make it easier to talk about. P.S. Love the podcast. Keep it up. Callum.
Nice. So we'll just all name one each for each role?
Yeah, let's just low elo in general.
Yeah, top lane, I'm going to say Darius. I think pretty straightforward champion. You can smash any lane.
I'm going to say Mordekaiser. I think Mordekaiser is an easier play character that has, like, it's just way better. And also, just functions better currently.
I'll say Ornn. I think it's very easy to never die on Ornn and just be a useful part of a team. A lot of CC, very tanky, is going to make people better. So those are a couple options.
Nice. In the jungle, I'm going to say right now, probably Warwick, actually. I think Warwick's kind of good.
I think Warwick's the best jungler. Well, not the best jungler. Olaf's the best jungler. Warwick's the top three jungler.
Well, yeah, Olaf's. Yeah, I was going to say Olaf, but...
Yeah, Warwick's crazy right now.
Difficult. Yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm. Warwick's super good. I think other than that, I mean, I think Lee Sin is always a good climbing character because you can absolutely take over a game with him, but... Definitely, if it's lower elo, it's going to take you a while to master and actually become effective with them.
Nice. Mid lane. It's got to be Fizz, right?
I do think Fizz is the best mid in the game right now. And he's probably the easiest assassin in the game to play.
That was my thought process. I don't think he's necessarily like hard to play. I think he's hard to play like at a super high level. Where people know how to play against you, but...
Mm-hmm. If you're really bad at the game, 1-5 is terrible. But, like, other than that, like, you just kill people at 6, and then you just, like, kill anyone you want on the map after that.
Yeah, I mean, after 6, his combo is, did you hit Shark? Yes, kill them with every ability. Did you hit Shark? No, just run. Like...
Yeah, did you hit Shark? Maybe yes. Kill them anyway. Or run away. You're fine. And you can E away. You're fine. I think Annie is probably the other champ that you could always point to as a good climbing character.
Yeah.
Okay, nice. AD carry. Probably just Caitlyn. I'm going to say just Caitlyn. I think she's simple enough for people to pick up like pretty quickly.
I was going to say
she's good enough with a Stormraiser rework.
For the same reason Jinx, pretty simplistic.
Yeah.
Kind of can just hyper carry if she gets a couple like lucky kills.
I was going to say Ashe. I think the other thing that's really nice about Ashe is she just offers you like vision and engage tools, which are not two things that AD carries normally offer to a team, while also having a very safe lane, various build paths, and a high ability to like actually hard carry.
Fair enough. Support. I think we're just gonna go with. Fuck, this is hard.
It is hard. It's probably like I honestly think support's like the most important role. Like as much as you just want to say like play like Janna or something because like, you just don't really have to do much and it's probably easy for low elo players. I feel like you carry less because of that though.
I'm gonna say Nautilus. I think he's too easy for what he does.
I think Leona's pretty good too. Like the fact that she gets so many stats from her W, it just kind of like negates like a lot of the issues of low elo players have of like going in and dying. So. I think Leona's good.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to jump on with Nautilus. I think it's very difficult to not be somewhat effective on Nautilus. Like, his ultimate's point and click CC on any character, and it's not hard to get in range of it, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice. Cool. Thank you, Callum. Last email is from John. This email is from John. Hello again, got bored and had some more thoughts. A couple years ago, people were talking about League like it may be dying soon, then it didn't. I'm confused and overjoyed that I don't have to learn another game to hang out with my friends. I wanted to see if there was any data regarding player population over time, and I found a nice article about it. And he included the link. Basically, Riot published info on players for 2011, 2014, and 2017. The number of monthly players was 11.5 million, then 67 million, and 100 million, respectively, but there isn't any current info published by Riot. They estimate in the article that there are around 115 million players per month this year. Their estimate is based on viewership of Worlds and membership of the League of Legends subreddit. How long will League be an active game? Has any other video game had this kind of staying power? And he included the article. So we talked about this recently, at least. I think I remember having a discussion about the games.
I think we were talking at the 10-year anniversary, like, does League have another 10 years kind of thing? That being said, I think that as far as I'm aware, the total number of players is still growing slowly. It's not rapid growth like we had seen in the past, but it is still a game that is growing. Riot is now putting out a lot more content in terms of other games, forms of media, in music, shows, cinematics. You know, they're putting out more merchandise through the art, their store, posters, all that stuff. Like, they are a company that is building up and on the upswing, so I imagine we've got a good amount of time still left in League, probably at least another 10 years, especially with what they've been doing recently with Champions. I think competitive scene is continuing to grow and become better. We're seeing a lot more competitive games and competitive finals, which is really nice. So, yeah, I think it's going to continue to be active and continue growing still for a good amount of time.
Yeah, I think a good amount of time is a good way to say it, because there's really no, like, indicator we can put on it, or I guess time limit. 10 years still seems like a wild, like, idea, like, that a game could exist for 10 years, let alone for another 10 years. 20 years for a video game, I think, is pretty unheard of, right? Like, Melee is at, we always get this mixed up, right? Melee's at 18 now. Right. Yeah, Melee is at 18 now, and it's probably, like, starting to dwindle.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's never been big, though. I feel like it's harder to compare to, like, things that are as big as League, because League is one of the biggest ones. The only games that you can really compare to League's, like, staying power is Minecraft and Roblox.
Yeah, that's true.
Both of which average over 100 million users a month. And Roblox was released. I'm not sure if Roblox was always as popular as it is. Obviously, not too into Roblox. I know it was released in like 2006 or 2007 or something like that. And I know Minecraft was officially released 2009, right? Or 2011 or something like that.
I think 2009.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
So, at the very least, you have Minecraft and Roblox to go off of, right? Minecraft, I can guarantee you, has been as popular as it is, like, since its release, right?
Oh, for sure. There may have been a little bit of dip, like, probably midway between release and now, but I feel like it's starting to come back, like, very strong.
Mm-hmm. In our chat, IM3DSki mentioned WoW. WoW definitely isn't staying power. It just doesn't have the size, right? As a subscription game, I think its player base is at 10 million, which at its peak, it was at, like almost 30 million or something like that.
It's never been even close to that, like, 100 million.
Yeah, but it still has a staying power, right? So it is a 20-year series, right? Almost 20 years at this point, 15, something like that. I'm not sure exactly.
2004,
yeah, 15.
Yeah, 2004, 15.
Yeah, so it has a staying power, just maybe not as big.
Yeah.
For now.
I think a big issue with this question is that there's really not much precedent for how this works, because free to play as a model is right, like, League of Legends is one of the earlier adopters of it, and if not the most popular, definitely up there. Like, video games didn't work like this previously, right? You can point at things like the Mario franchise or Zelda franchise and say, hey, you know, Mario has been around for a long time and people are still playing Mario and they're still putting out Mario games or Pokemon games or, you know, whatever franchise you really want to point at to make that argument. But the idea of one game that is constantly being updated, changed, and developed is not something that there's a lot of historical data to point to. So it is a very hard thing to try and predict. Just as difficult as, you know, if somebody had asked us 5 years ago, you know, is League going to last another 5 years? To be like, it's hard to say.
I think another another benefit that Riot has is I think they're right in the sweet spot between, like, difficult to pick up, but not as difficult as Dota. But like also approachable enough, I suppose, is the way to put it. Like mm-hmm. it's difficult enough to keep everyone interested, but it's not easy or it's not hard enough to keep people from like wanting to play it and wanting to learn it. And I also think like Riot is currently probably so the comparison that I had is like Call of Duty, right? That series has been around forever and there's always a new one, but like why? You know, I feel like that's a game that could easily like just release DLCs.
Yeah.
Right? Like Modern Warfare 2, peak of Call of Duty for me. Like that was a perfect game. Once they like fixed all the game breaking bugs and stuff. And it's just like people come around and make better games.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And looking back with those rose colored glasses, it's easy to see that like that was the peak of like shooter multiplayer games for me personally. But then there are also games like the Battlefield franchise, which is a different take, like definitely Black Ops and Black Ops 2 and those games that have been mentioned many times as people's favorite. But there's not really a market for other MOBAs. I think really it's League and Dota and then everything else. And I think that's a huge thing, is Riot doesn't have a lot of competition. You know, if you want to play a MOBA, you're playing League or you're playing Dota. Like that, those are your two options.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for someone looking to get into a MOBA, the choice is League, like 100%.
There's that, and I think like another, right, since it's such a competition based game, like it's people play League, I think, for the most part, or a large draw of the game is the competitive aspect, right? Like I want to get really good at this, I like watching the pro scene, etc. And that means that any player who would want to be playing a different one is going to have to deal with a smaller community, therefore like less skilled players, right? Mm-hmm. That it's just a numbers game at that point. The game with more players is going to have better players because that's how numbers work.
Yeah.
And so, you know, why would I join the game with a smaller community and less potential for growth when I could join the big game that has an actually strong pro scene kind of thing? For the people that want that competitive, you know, aspect of the game. There's a lot of facets that I think contribute to its strength and its staying power. And I think, you know, as you're pointing out, the lack of competition is a really good indicator that it's probably not going anywhere anytime soon. Mm-hmm. Like the only thing that could knock League of Legends out of the market is League of Legends 2.
Honestly. Yeah. Or Riot Games. They're doing something fucking stupid.
Yeah, right. Like they'd either need to explode the game. Still themselves. A
possibility. Yeah.
True.
But that's kind of it. Yeah. Hopefully that helps, John. I know we're all pretty much looking forward to League forever. Maybe not forever, but for the foreseeable future at least. So yeah, thanks for listening. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's at LeagueCast and at LeagueCastFuss. On Facebook, we are LeagueCast. Come talk to us on Discord. Our Discord is on our website, LeagueCastPodcast.com. You can send us an email, mail@LeagueCastPodcast.com, and we'll read it out. Twitch.tv/BlueBasket and /KingLardot are where we stream. I'll be streaming the in-houses that we'll be playing tomorrow at Twitch.tv/KingLardot, like I said. And then finally, support us on Patreon, patreon.com/LeagueCast. Thank you all for listening, and we will see you next week, early next week, I suppose, for episode 410. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.